is Bob Sutton with WSYL 1490 AM, Sylvania, Georgia.
Did you do that? Was that your job in college?
No, that was my job in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Well, what are you? You should be doing that with us then. Why? We got the talent. The talent's there.
I don't know about the talent.
I beg to differ. I think you've got it. I think you got it.
Oh, hey, we are here today with Bob Sutton. Bob is the new program director for the Yellow Council, and we're excited for him to be in this role. And you know, we're going to let Bob introduce himself a little bit. Bob, I guess, where did you come from, and how did you get here to Yellow Council?
I came from the great state of Georgia.
Born and bred, huh?
Born and bred. After 20-something years in the military, I retired and took a job at Riverside Military Academy in Gainesville, Georgia. And then opportunity came up to change my careers and started looking into the Boy Scouts. Put it out there, and the Illinois Council responded back and invited me out. I liked what I saw. And I signed up and was the Hoover District Executive for 6 years.
So you moved here from Georgia?
Yes, sir, I did.
To work for Yellow Council?
Absolutely.
Well, see, I never realized that. I thought that somehow you had gotten here and then...
No. I knew that he'd moved because of that.
Yeah. No, when I came out for the visit, I just loved what I saw. The people here are great in the state of Iowa. The Quad Cities, amazing. I mean, I don't want to leave. Seriously.
Which is why you're now our program director.
Absolutely.
And you got plans to stay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we're so happy to have you. Let's talk about camp, because camp just started.
Oh, camp is going great. Our numbers are comparable to last year.
Good.
Maybe up a little bit. And people seem to be having a really great time out there. We've got some new programs that we've added. We're still doing the pistol pilot program, which is really popular, and it's drawn in people from other councils. So I've been out there a lot this summer, and people are having a great time.
Good, good, good. No, that's what actually Andy and I were out there in the morning yesterday, I think it was, and it seemed like everybody was happy, good to go, and they were excited for the day because we were out there pretty early in the morning.
Yeah.
So everybody was kind of getting ready. It was just after breakfast, and it seemed like all the kids that we saw looked like they were ready for the day. So that's encouraging. That's good. That's
good.
Really good, because that's what we want. This is kind of the – camp seems to be the culmination of the year. Everything that you do, the kids do the meetings, and they do, you know, their court of honors and everything, but really summer camp's where it's at.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I've talked to a lot of the leaders, and, hey, they're having a good time, too.
Good.
Yeah. Now, Bob, from Georgia, were you a scout as a youth?
I was a scout as a youth. I was a life scout. I was part of the Order of the Arrow. I was a brotherhood member of the Order of the Arrow. I was in the Coastal Empire Council down in Savannah, Georgia, and I was in the Canoochee District.
Canoochee. I like that.
Yeah.
And last night you said the last time I was in Philmont, I was 17. So when you were a scout, you were active as a scout, and you went to Philmont? And
I was active as a scout. I did go to Philmont at age 17. It was one of the highlights of my childhood. Had a great time. I think I had more fun on the trip out there than I actually had at Philmont.
Did you guys take the train or did you just convoy it out?
We actually commandeered a Greyhound bus and just stopped along the way at all the Air Force bases. And we slept in the gym. And I was like, man, these gyms are really cool. They got saunas and hot tubs. And, you know, an old country boy like me had never been exposed to that sort of thing. And I liked what I saw. So that's part of the reason I actually joined the Air Force.
Air Force, yeah.
Because I thought it was pretty cool. It was like a country club.
And was it? You were in for how long? 20-some years?
Yeah, and it was similar to that. I mean, we had golf courses and stuff on the base, but... I mean, obviously, I had a job to do.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
What made you want to go in the military?
Well, at the time, we had some trouble over there in the Middle East going on, and I just kind of wanted to go out there and do my part. And my family has a tradition of military service. My father was a POW in World War II, and he was in the Army Air Corps, and I kind of wanted to follow in his footsteps. My plans were to go in for only 4 years, and I got in there, and I enjoyed it so much, I said, hey, I'll just make a career out of it.
Neat. That's cool.
Now, I know a lot of your stories involve places that you lived or traveled to in the military, so what are list of some of those places?
I've been to Australia, I've been to Alaska, Hawaii, Germany, Italy, England, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. Gosh, there's so many places I've been that I would actually have to have it all written down. But I've had an opportunity to, in the United States, I've lived in South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, California, New Jersey. So I've got an opportunity to see a good part of the country. And I was able to actually live in the Republic of Panama for 3 years, which was quite an experience under the Noriega regime. So it was fun.
That's how you sum up your experiences. It was fun.
It was fun. Under Noriega. I mean, driving through the streets of Panama City, sometimes you would turn a corner and there'd be a car turned over and on fire, then you had to make your way out of there. So
so you were on your toes quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely on my toes. Yes, absolutely.
Now, Bob, you have children. How old are they? And
ooh, well, I have two children at home. Mm-hmm. One is 19, and she goes to the Muscatine Community College. And then I have another daughter who is going to be starting the 11th grade at Muscatine High School.
Very cool. Good. Hey, you guys down in Muscatine did a lot of good things. Hoover District did a lot of good things. And one of those being you just killed your FOS goal this year, which was fantastic. And I know every time we talk to you about it, you put it right back on, hey, the volunteers. Volunteers, you guys have a crackpot financed committee. And I know you guys just really did well this year. But, you know, 6 years you being down there, you really built up a really nice district, and I know it probably was a little hard to walk away from that to step into this new role. Can you talk about leaving some of those volunteers? Because
oh yeah, I mean I love Muscatine, I love my volunteers. It's what's made this job worthwhile, and you know, worth getting up in the morning and working all these hours that I work. And I mean, it's for the volunteers and the kids. And without the volunteers, there's no way that it could have been done. Probably some of the best volunteers in the council are down in Hoover District. They would do anything for you. As far as finance goes, Jim Neppel, who was the former district chairman, stepped into the role of finance chair, or community finance chair. And he really, really did a great job. He actually had his whole entire staff at his law firm on board, and just really knocked it out of the park.
That's great. That's awesome. All right, well, so we've got a couple questions that we ask everybody. And the first question that we have for you is, what is your favorite current TV show?
The Walking Dead.
Nice.
That nice. Seems like it's a pretty popular, especially in The Office.
Especially, I think almost all of us in The Office.
Yeah.
Watch Walking Dead.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I had never seen it before this year. What happened was my satellite went out, and I had to revert to Netflix.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I've never seen some of these shows, and I've heard a lot about The Walking Dead. Yeah, Andy talks about it quite a bit. So I decided to start watching, and I just couldn't get enough of it, man.
Now, that's all filmed in your neck of the woods.
It is. It's actually filmed in Georgia.
In Georgia.
Have
yep.
you seen any places on the show where you're like, oh, I've seen that in real life?
I've seen downtown Atlanta, and, you know, it actually doesn't look much different in real life.
Like a war zone?
Someplace, actually.
A tank.
I know.
Oh, ripped up horse carcass.
Hey, I'm just kidding. Atlanta is a great city. I love Atlanta. Spent a lot of time there. I just like to joke.
Oh. I know I wasn't convinced about The Walking Dead either. And I figured I'll give it an episode. Actually, I think Zach gave me the first season. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll watch the pilot. And that first episode makes you want more. And every episode kind of leaves you as a cliffhanger. And I never was one to really get the zombie thing. You know, I never was really big into that, but it goes so much, it transcends the zombie whole theme. There's more to it than that.
Well, I know, I think I was probably the only one in here that had read the comics when we first started talking about it. And now Zach has read the comics. Austin, I know, has started. I don't know if he's read all of them. But because the comic is awesome as well. And great read. And it's the same themes. Like, you'll go issues. You know, and an issue is one a month. So you'll go issues where, you know, months where you might not even see a zombie doing anything. It's all about people and,
and their interaction, how they survive. And, yeah, that's really what I think draws people in.
Yeah.
It's not so much the zombie theme, although that is entertaining. It's how they interact with each other and how these little groups either break up or stay together. Or, yeah,
absolutely.
Our second question. If you had have any job, your dream job, and your boss isn't listening to this, what would you want to do?
I'd like to be the chief scout executive.
Andy's laughing, but I think you're serious. I think you could do it.
Well, thank you. I'm striving for that.
Yeah.
There you go. Wayne Brock, be on guard because Bob Sutton's coming.
Yeah.
Bob Sutton's coming. That's great. That's...
Oh, this is the last time we ever saw Bob Sutton.
Hey, I don't think he's got anything to worry about.
Awesome.
All right, last question. If you could meet anybody, living or dead, fictional, and eat supper with them, who would you meet and what would you eat?
Probably Jim Morrison.
Oh,
and I would probably eat chicken and pork and beans.
Chicken and pork. Now, right. What era of Jim Morrison? I guess he only lived to be about 27, but there was like the, you know, like growing star Jim Morrison. Then there was like the
downfall.
Died at 27 Jim Morrison. Yeah.
I would probably like to meet the rising star. I really enjoyed the Doors music. Didn't really know too much about the dark side of the Doors.
Right.
Because I was a very young kid, you know, and when they first came on the scene. And my brother kind of turned me on to the Doors. And also I had a job as a DJ at the local radio station when I was in high school. And I got to listen to a lot of the Doors music and kind of really like them a lot. And then I started reading some of the books that came out and then found out about some of the trouble that he had in his life. And I just like to find out, you know, what that turning point was, why he turned the way he did.
Sure.
Because I think that he was a great star. I think people loved him. And, you know, they're sad that he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have this question. Do you think that Jim Morrison would be the legend that he is today if he would not have died?
Oh, I think so. I think he just had that quality about him that people loved, you know, kind of like an Elvis Presley type.
Right.
You know, people just, I think I've never really met anybody who didn't like the Doors music.
Sure.
Or who didn't like the personality of Jim Morrison.
You know, it reminds me of, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but, you know, Kurt Cobain for our generation, and maybe Jim Morrison was kind of the same way for your generation. He's kind of that guy that started a new sound. Because I know the Doors, they didn't have a bassist, right? They keyboarded it. I mean, that was kind of they had a guitar, they had the keyboards, and then they had the drums, and that was pretty much it. And that was unusual because everyone had a bassist.
Right.
And so they were definitely breaking new ground, and they had a sound that was really unique.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sound that if you were listening to it on the radio today and you had never heard it before, you'd think it was like brand new.
Current.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And the thing is, I'm not sure if Kurt Cobain would hold up as a legend status if he would not have died.
Sure.
Because as much as I love Eddie Vedder, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eddie Vedder might be like a footnote in rock and roll history when Kurt Cobain will have a chapter written about
him.
You know what I mean? But I'm not sure if Kurt Cobain would have held up.
Sure. If he
and
had
given more time to produce another album.
Right.
You know what I mean? Over time.
Right.
But it's interesting to think about. Now, one of the greatest songs, like, in a movie is in Apocalypse Now, when This Is the End, is, like, the opening theme to it.
That's
and
amazing.
And they're bombing trees and stuff, and they have the doors playing.
Over it. There's no sound at all,
yeah.
Except for that song.
Yeah. That's one of the, so anytime I think of the Doors, that's what I think of, because that scene, I love Apocalypse Now. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And that scene has always just been etched in my brain. Yeah. Well, Bob, I know that we're looking forward to continuing working with you. We've worked with you for a while now, but in a different capacity. Mm-hmm. And we think that you'll do a great job. And anything else that you want to say before we wrap things up?
I just want to say that I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that I was able to stay here and continue upward climb in my career. I love the Illawarra Council. I don't want to leave here. So maybe there in the future there will be some other doors that open up here at the Illawarra Council that I can slide into, because I'd really love to stay here. I love the volunteers. I love the area and the people that I work with.
All right.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Bob, we'll talk with you soon.
Yeah, thanks, Alrighty. Bob.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend. The end of our elaborate plans. The end of everything that stands. The end.